This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here we go. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of it. We are heading for a must-win game 4 tonight. Stars and Oilers in Edmonton. Coming up at 7 o'clock, and ESPN's Greg Wyshynski joins us now to talk more about this. And a good afternoon, Greg. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm in rainy Raleigh covering what is affectionately known as the other series amongst hockey fans.
Yes, sir. Well, we appreciate. Now, are you hearing anything about Roope Hintz and is he going to play tonight?
Just what you guys heard, game time decision. Obviously, he takes warm-ups last game. Unable to go, which is a kind of a discouraging sign. Look, given what's happening in the series, given how the Oilers play, they're not going to put him in the lineup unless he can be a more effective player than the healthier body they can put in instead. They need him back in a pretty major way. I think that would be a pretty encouraging sign for them tonight. But like you guys, I'm just waiting to see what happens after warmups. If he can go, and if he can go, that'd be a real boon for the Stars.
You know, when it comes to Hintz, I understand the judge the action and not the result kind of protocol here in NHL. But don't they do more if they cause blood?
Oh, dude. So there's two different discussions to have about that incident with Darnell Nurse. The first is, should there have been a penalty on the play? And then the answer is, of course. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, it probably should have been a major. You know, if you go by the rule book, there is absolutely caveats in there for the severity of the play in a lot of different situations. And so while, you know, judging the injury is sometimes frowned upon when it comes to supplemental discipline, it's very much a part of the rule book for situations such as that. And, you know, you have some psychotic Edmonton fans who believe that Roope was faking the injury in the game, like he would keep himself out of the third period after the team rallied in the third period the game before. I don't know what they thought after he didn't play game 3. Maybe it's just a long con on the part of Hintz and the Stars. But, you know, there absolutely should have been a major penalty in that play, but I don't think that it should have resulted in a suspension because it is kind of a commonplace play. It was sort of a freaky accident type thing. It's underhanded for sure, but we see that type of slash a lot. And I don't think it was a suspension, but I think they really screwed up the call in the game.
It really is amazing the bias of a playoff sports series. You could have a college course about this kind of thing. Because, of course, here we're feeling like the refs owe us one, and there's been a lot of calls that have gone against us. Are we on solid ice there?
I don't know, man. Playoff officiating has been specious all over the place. You know, in the series I'm covering between Carolina and Florida, you have the Hurricanes fans wondering if the referees are even watching the games with the amount of stuff that the Panthers seem to be getting away with. So I don't know. It's always tough. I mean, these referees are always very, at times, hesitant to try to make too much of a mark on the game. They want to let the boys play sometimes. Sometimes that can lead to stuff not getting called, and then the stuff that they do call, everybody gets very upset about. So for me, the biggest issue was I don't think they followed the rule book in that instance with Nurse and with Hintz. I think there was enough evidence there for that to be a major penalty, given that there was an injury on the play. I don't have a problem with the league not suspending, but I think they did the Stars dirty with that call in the game.
Amen, Greg. That should have been a major. Got screwed here, and they do owe us one. All right, coming into game 4 here tonight. And just you don't have to say it. I'll say it for you there. When it comes to the special teams, we knew that would be certainly what could possibly tilt the series. But I want to ask you about how do you think the Stars have fared 5-on-5? I know Pete got a little chippy prior to game 3 when asked about that because he said, hey, we've made it here without our two top guys. I'm throwing those out. But that second period, it seemed like the Stars kind of found their game.
They did. I mean, look, he got chippy for good reason, which is that you have to throw out a lot of the numbers from the rest of the playoff run because they didn't have Heiskanen and they didn't have Robertson. But anyone who's watched this series against Edmonton knows that they've, outside of one period last game, have been, you know, taken to the woodshed by the Oilers at 5-on-5. And that's not anything that's going to help them win this series. The good news is that they showed in that period that they have some proof of concept. When they're playing their game, when they've got their legs, when they're executing, they can absolutely control tempo and control the puck and get the majority of shots and play the kind of hockey that we've seen the Stars play in previous rounds. The problem, though, is that and Pete mentioned this today in his media availability, you can't do that while being down 2-0. Yeah. Right? That's the real problem, is that now you're playing really well, you're feeling good about yourself, but ultimately you're just trying to dig out of a hole that you've made for yourself, and that's no way to try to beat the Oilers, because then you run into the situation they ran into last game where you're working that hard to dig out of a hole, and you know Connor McDavid's probably going to score at some point, right? So, like, they got to get a lead and then establish that kind of play, and once they do that, I think they're going to be fine in this series. But they just can't, you know, spot the Oilers' 2 goals before getting to their game.
Hey, Greg, okay, as you watch, and you've seen McDavid play a ton, does anybody slow him down? I mean, is there tactics? Is there somebody that is like, well, hey, you know, when he plays Toronto, he seems to have problems with this, or, you know, he plays the Florida Panthers, they can't do this. Is there, it just seems like to me he just scares you to death with the puck on the tape, because if you're in it, it's like everybody's into backpedal mode with him. Is there anybody that plays him well that they can maybe draw from that?
I mean, outside of drugs in his water bottle,
sure.
No.
Sure.
Like that dude is great. That dude is on another level. He's for my money, the single most talented offensive player as far as the velocity with which he plays that I've ever seen. Other guys can make magic with the puck, like Gretzky did, Mario Lemieux did, like others can do that. But the speed at which he does it is just something we've never seen before in hockey. So you can set up your defense any way you want. He'll slice through it.
Sure.
The only way that you can try to handle it is to, you know, maybe just try to get your body on him, you know, try to muck it up, try to plug the middle of the ice and hope that you can maybe, you know, slow down the chances he gets. But again, that's the issue with playing the Oilers, is that you know he's going to get something in these games. And so your job is to make sure that when he does, you've already established a lead. You've already cushioned the lead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And you can kind of budget for Connor McDavid doing something in one of these games where it's not going to kill you.
Yeah, it seems like at times he gets snuck onto the ice. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute, why is he out there? You know, and it's crazy how they're able to deplore him and put him out there to, you know, make things tough on you defensively.
Sure. But I mean, also part of that, too, is we're talking about the way you can slice and dice your D.
Right.
When that happens, that's when you need your last line of defense to be your last line of defense. And
right.
I don't think Jake Oettinger was to blame for the loss in game 3. I think some of those chances, McDavid's goal, the two that Hyman had, are really, really tough saves to make. And I think that the team in front of him let him down a little bit. But ultimately, when you are playing one of these elite, unstoppable talents like McDavid, those are the moments in which you need Jake to step up and really make the difference when McDavid slices your defense into Swiss cheese.
Greg, what have you noticed about what Edmonton's doing to Rantanen? How can the Stars get him going again?
I mean, the easiest answer is to hope that Hintz is healthy and get the Finnish Mafia cranked up again. You know, I don't know about Mikko. Like, he's not played poorly. He's just not been as emphatic a force as he was at the end of the Colorado series and at the beginning of the Winnipeg series. And it's probably an unfair expectation to place on the guy when he had a, you know, I think he set an NHL record for the number of team goals on which he had a point consecutively. Like, that's an insane run. Still though, like, when we're at this point in the season, when his reputation is as a playoff difference maker, this is the kind of game where he needs to make a difference. This is the kind of game where he needs to use his size, his ability to shield the puck, to gain zone time for the Stars. We've been just talking about McDavid. Like, how do you limit McDavid? Well, the easiest way is to make sure that when McDavid's on the ice, he's defending. And you know, the Hintz line with Rantanen and Granlund has that ability to kind of gain zone time and keep the puck on the attack, which is not only going to help the Stars score, but also help mitigate the offense that Edmonton can create.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, with us here on 105.3 The Fan. I think you had the plus-minus on Wyatt Johnston. And we've talked a lot about Mika. I mean, Wyatt was a huge reason the Stars were able to get to the conference finals a year ago. I never had any questions about him as a playoff player, but where the hell's Wyatt been?
Well, I mean, when I put that stat out there, I had a lot of Dallas fans come back and say, well, look, in fairness, you know, he's been deployed against some really good offensive players during the playoffs. Like, maybe his role has changed a little bit from where it was in previous playoffs, but that shouldn't change the fact that this guy's like, you know, what is he, like a minus 15 or 16 at this point in the postseason, mm-hmm. which is just insane. And he's not made a difference offensively. You know, I'm over on the East. I'm watching Carolina. I'm watching our old friend Logan Stankoven
do
some really impressive things for the Hurricanes offensively in a series where there's not a lot of room. And then you go back and look at Wyatt Johnston, and it's, you know, I kind of link those two up as being in that next generation of Dallas player back when Logan was on the team. And Wyatt just hasn't really gotten it going in the postseason, which, again, is really shocking when, like you said, you consider how good he's been for them in the playoffs during his short career. So, you know, this is, again, all the opportunities are there here in game four for Wyatt to get off the schneid, for Robertson to continue to kind of progress forward. He scores the goal. He has a bunch of shots. He looked good last game. And then obviously for Rantanen and Granlund and hopefully Hintz to kind of reestablish themselves in the series. This is the moment where it has to happen, where you have a chance to get a split, get home ice back, and really make this a series. But they're going to need one or two or all these guys to step up tonight.
Greg, what do you think about Mason Marchment? He's been somebody that I think he drew two penalties in game one, which was huge, but otherwise he's also been in the penalty box a bunch this postseason and has really not provided much at all offensively for Dallas. I mean, is he a guy that you'd consider scratching and putting more speed with Maverick Bork out there, or do you just let Marchment try and work it out?
I mean, ultimately, you'd like him out there. I mean, there are some guys on that Edmonton team that like to bang and throw the body and get physical, and Marchment ultimately is one of the guys in the lineup that can kind of like respond to that or counteract that. But he, like you said, man, this guy is the most boom or bust player on the team as far as, you know, he can draw a penalty and he's very talented at that, but then kind of just does some dumb things sometimes to give it right back. And that's where the headaches come in with Mason Marchment. But, you know, ultimately I think he probably offers the lineup a bit more than Bork does. I'd love to see Bork get in there in some way, shape, or form. I think he's a really good player, but I think it shouldn't be at Marchman's expense.
What do you think of the last two games, Greg? My final. I don't want to get you in trouble with our listeners, but I do want to ask you a leading question. Like, after the last two games, how much of you feels like this is probably over and Edmonton is just the better team again?
Nah, I don't think so. The Stars have shown so much this postseason insofar as playing through adversity. I mean, you think back to game one against Colorado, how many people thought they were cooked then? All the people picking the Avalanche in that series because they didn't have Heiskanen and they didn't have Robertson. And then they go and play Winnipeg and they lose some of those games in Winnipeg and you're just like, can this team even pull it together? Maybe it's my blind faith in having picked them to win the cup and having picked them to then, you know, win this series. But I just feel like there's a little bit more for Dallas to offer than they've offered so far. And there's a whole lot of supporting characters on the Stars that have really, you know, have yet to let their presence be known in this series. Edmonton's really hitting their stride. And I think the biggest problem for Dallas right now is that outside of an anomalous 3-power play goal performance in game one and maybe parts of game two where they're, you know, already down 2-0, but they're playing well. There hasn't been a moment in this series where they've injected any doubt in Edmonton. And that's really the issue. It's like, you got to have these guys get in their own heads a little bit, because Edmonton's shown them in the past that they can kind of get unraveled a little bit when you do put that doubt in their minds. And Dallas has done nothing so far to get to Stuart Skinner, to have these Oilers wondering if they're going to win the series. Like, they've got to be able to start doing that, or else it is going to be a short series.
Well, I'll drink to that, Greg. Awesome stuff as always. Enjoy the game, and we'll try to catch up with you soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
He's the Puck Daddy, Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, with you once again here on The Fan. He's been great to us all season long, and I needed that. I needed to hear that, Wolchuk. I don't think I'm as strident and as positive as you are right now.
Clear head. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're going to even this thing up tonight, but I still need a little bit more positivity.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.